Hey, Craig's here.
Ask and you shall receive, Craig.
What is going on, everyone? This is episode 64, TH Fantasy.
64.
Getting up there.
I know, and these numbers are so, like, offensive lineman based. It's going to be really
nice. I know. It's like, driving me. It's absolutely driving me insane. It's been, like, the last, like, how many... at least 10 episodes.
Uh-huh.
We got some linebackers in there.
And it's also horribly depressing because, you know, like, people in the offensive line tend to have massive head trauma. So it's like, oh, yeah, and this guy. Yeah,
right.
And today, for me, today's no different. So I'm sorry in advance. Episode 64, I'm Tony Ryan's here. Craig's here. Let's hop right in. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I can go first because I got a short one and a bigger one.
All right, start us off.
All right. So I thought this was cool because, as we all know, Tony has some Jewish descent.
Yes.
So this guy is actually in the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mr. Ed Newman, offensive guard from 1973 to 1984. Played over 167 games with Miami Dolphins.
Hey.
And guess what? He's also a judge.
Oh, shit.
In Florida.
A Florida judge?
Yeah.
Damn.
Went to Duke University on scholarship. Like I said, he spent his entire career with the Dolphins. Went to 3 Super Bowls against the Minnesota Vikings in 1973. They won that one against the Redskins in 1982. They lost that one.
Okay.
And they lost in 1984 to the 49ers. He had a knee injury in 1985. And he decided to call it quits after that.
Okay.
Go
into judging.
But in 1984, while still playing, he enrolled in the night school division of the University of Miami School of Law.
Okay.
And graduated in 1987. He practiced litigation law for 7 years. And then in 1994, he was elected county court judge in Miami, Florida.
Wow.
And began his first term in 1995, January. He is still presently... at one of the criminal justice buildings, alongside his former Dolphin teammate and bailiff now, Tony Nathan.
That's nuts.
Yeah. This guy's pretty cool. But I thought it was cool.
Well, so here's the deal. Since you co-host a podcast with a Jewish person, you're in the club, so you can go to the meetings now, right? So my question is, with your newfound Judaism, I want to ask you a question, and you got to give me your opinion.
Okay.
Do you think there are good Jewish delis in Florida?
I would not think so.
Yeah, but, right?
But there probably are, you know.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
We're everywhere, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like there's got to be a decent Jewish community in Miami somewhere.
Oh, for sure. So we're going to go to my guy here, and, like, I don't want to assume anything, but I feel like this guy probably doesn't like Jewish people, all right?
Oh no.
Yeah, okay. So usually, you know, we try to cover interesting human beings on this show, so I'm going to change it up and cover a real piece of shit.
Great.
Richie Incognito is my 64.
Him? For real?
Oh, yeah. So we know what he's famous for, right? But we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive, and I'll tell you a little bit about his trials and tribulations.
Oh, my God.
So he was born in New Jersey, but he plays high school football in Glendale, Arizona. His senior year, he won the state's award for best lineman, best high school offensive lineman. You know what?
Okay.
You know what the award's called? It's called the Frank Cush Award.
Nice.
Pretty dang start to your career, right?
I'm sure that's a strain somewhere.
The Frank Cush.
Yo, give me that Frank Cush.
Okay, so he goes to the University of Nebraska, and as a redshirt freshman, he had the second most pancake blocks in a season in Nebraska team history, 171.
Oh my God, I didn't realize he went to Nebraska.
Right. Well, this was, you know, like the early aughts when we were in high school.
Okay.
So
he played it all in Nebraska, or did he transfer?
Oh boy. Let's talk
about
it.
Oh no. Oh no.
So he redshirted. So, you know, he redshirted his freshman year. So he had his redshirt freshman season. He hit a guy in practice from behind, and the dude was so pissed he walked off the practice field in disgust. He was accused. This is his redshirt freshman year. He was accused of spitting on an opponent in the second week of the season.
What an asshole.
He was ejected for fighting against Penn State, and he got a 15-yard personal foul late in the fourth quarter that cost his team a win against Colorado. That's just 2002.
Oh, my God.
In 2003, he got into a fight in spring practice that was so bad that he had to go to anger management class. At the same time, he was first team all Big 12, and then they played Michigan State in the Alamo Bowl, and he was accused of spitting on multiple opposing players. So,
of course,
that's 2003. So 2004, he gets charged with assault stemming from a fight at a house party. And then he gets suspended for violating team rules in September. And then he starts a fight in the locker room, which gets him kicked off the team. So he was a preseason favorite to win some of those like collegiate offensive best player, the position awards, and then off the team. So
that's crazy.
At the end of the month, he transferred to Oregon, but was kicked off that team less than a week later for reasons that nobody has ever really confirmed.
Really?
So he was a top five offensive line talent in that rookie class, but he was on a bunch of teams' do not draft lists. The Rams took him 81st overall. He was hurt all of 2005, played awesome in 2006, missed half of 2007 with a knee injury, and apparently he was partying instead of rehabbing, which, like, I'm not going to hold that against you. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let me do this. I had to bring this up. In 2008, he got fined three times because of things he did in one game.
Three different fines from one game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I tried to look that up to see if it was the most, but I couldn't find anything. He got fined for...
We'll just assume it is.
He got fined for verbally abusing an official, a severe face mask, and a chop block.
Jesus.
So the Rams re-sign him for 1 year. And in the nine games he played, he was benched twice for multiple personal fouls or unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, including against Tennessee, he headbutted multiple players.
Headbutted?
Right? So he's getting benched. He yells at his coach, and then they cut him 2 days later. In his 4 years as a Ram, he had seven unnecessary roughness calls against him.
What the hell?
In 2009, he was named the dirtiest player in the NFL. So
I remember that.
So he goes to Buffalo for like a year, and then he goes to Miami. And he was a Pro Bowler in 2012, and he won an award called the Good Guy Award in 2012.
How is that possible?
Okay, so the Good Guy Award is an award that the local beat media gives to a player on the team that's like most cool with the media, talks to them the most, is the most receptive to them.
Okay.
It's just funny that he would win the Good Guy Award, yeah, because right. Holy shit. So 2013 is when the bullying case happened. And like, look, there's a bunch of podcasts and news articles about this by people who are way better researchers. So if you're interested, look it up. I just want to give the short version. ESPN published a report that a Dolphins offensive lineman, Jonathan Martin, left the team because of bullying. Incognito claimed none of it was true and accused Adam Schefter of slander. The league and the Dolphins investigated and determined that Incognito and a couple others, including legendary and Aaron Hernandez BFF Mike Pouncey, they all bullied Martin. They bullied an unnamed Dolphins lineman and a trainer. The bullying was racist, it was sometimes sexually threatening, and often contained direct violent threats towards the victims and the victims' families. These threats led Martin to leave the team. Yeah, there's like racial slurs, all kinds of shit. Like, I'm going to do horrible things to your mother. Like, just nuts.
Right.
So Incognito suspended and then released after his suspension ends. So
yeah, I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
So Rex Ryan decides when he's the coach of the Bills, he's like, that's it. I'm sick of our team getting pushed around. I'm new to this town. I'm going to build a bully. That was his quote, and they signed Richie Incognito.
Oh my God.
That's what a right. shithead, right?
Yeah.
Played there for a couple years without really too much to note about, but in 2018, after he was off the roster, this is where it starts getting scary, man. Like, he was placed in an involuntary psychiatric hold after an incident in a Lifetime Fitness where he threw a tennis ball and a dumbbell at someone else. When the police came, he was like disoriented and freaking out and saying that people were spying on him.
What the hell?
That was in May. And then in June, he said online he was trying to make a comeback to the league. So then in August, he was arrested for attempting to take his dead father's head off his body. He wanted to take his dead father's head home for research purposes.
What?
Dude, I can't find anything that talks about, like, what the hell has anyone talked to him about CTE? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was just, right?
He did this crazy thing. He got arrested for disorderly conduct. The end. And I'm like, maybe what?
He has CTE.
Like, can we get him some help, please? Like, look, let's be real. Like, he's an asshole, but I can't also deny that he probably has some issues that are related to his career. You know,
right? It's gotta be.
I will say it's kind of funny that when the people at the funeral home were like, you absolutely cannot cut your father's head off and take it home. He started punching random caskets, which I just, in my head, it's just a really funny picture. A casket's such a funny thing to punch.
That sounds like a skit on SNL.
Right? Or Coffin Flop.
Right.
So nowadays, he's on random football podcasts. He tweets a lot about the Raiders. He voted for Josh Jacobs for the Pro Bowl this year, just so you know. Nice. So I estimate, since he's on the football podcast world, I'm estimating there's a 0.00005% chance he will hear this, and that's fucking terrifying. So that is my 64 Richie Incognito.
He's coming for you, bro.
It's fine. You know, that's, you pay the price to be the 83rd highest ranked podcast in Australia, okay? Like, it's a risk I'm willing to take.
All right, so last one. Let's talk about someone who's credited with inventing the Gatorade toss on your coach at the end of the game.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Mr. Jim Burt.
Oh, I love a two-syllable name. Jim, yes, Burt.
That's what made it stuck out to me, and that's why I looked it up.
Get in, like, get out. No, right, syllables.
I'm like, this guy's great. So former New York Giant and member for a little bit of the 49ers. He also won the Super Bowl with the Giants and with the Niners, Super Bowl 21 and 24. Like I said, a lot of people credit Lawrence Taylor with inventing the Gatorade shower, you know, like,
yeah, sure,
on the coach. But it turns out Jim Burt actually created it 38 nice. Years ago in 1984.
Fuck yeah.
So the Giants finished 3-12-1 in 1983, last place in the NFC East.
Awesome.
And the third worst team in the 2018 league. Bill Parcells was especially hard for some reason back then.
Well, he was a fucking asshole.
On Jim Burt.
Sure.
On a Thursday game, it's quoted as Parcells made him take a 20-pound dumbbell and just repeatedly lift it off the ground in the weight room for 45 minutes to simulate raising his arms powerfully out of the stance.
Jesus.
So Burt exacted revenge on Parcells after they won against the Redskins on October 28th by dousing him with a cooler of water.
So, and that's October. So that's a regular season game.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yep. So that was the actual invention of the Gatorade toss.
Oh, I love that. That's so petty.
Right. And get this, Tony, you like this. He played high school in Orchard Park, New York, outside of Buffalo. Some of his teammates, wrestler Lex Luger.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Craig Wolfie, later offensive line with the Steelers. Larry Fole. That's Lex Luger.
Damn. That's
his full name. Yeah, he's also credited with one of the biggest hits in the NFL on Joe Montana. I know I texted you the video.
Yeah, that's the huge earlier. Play.
It was a crazy hit, and actually Montana was picked off on that hit. He got rocked so hard.
Yep.
And the Giants won that game 49-3.
Yeah, and that was like the rise of Steve Young, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird because he played nose tackle, but he also played on defense because he has 20 sacks in his career.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's like a 60-minute man, like the guy we talked about earlier in the podcast,
play offense and defense. Yeah. Sure.
But he definitely played on defense.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Jim Burt.
I love it. That was a good, as we get closer to 70, I'll look back on some of these 63s fondly and 64s. I think we're going to have some fun with them.
Sure.
The rest of the way. All right. So we are going to take this opportunity to pause for ads, and then we're going to come back and hit you with some DFS knowledge for week 17.
Hi there, folks. This is Lesser Legend and brother of Scott Hansen, Hammer Hansen. You may know me from my latest book, Hammer Time, about the unfortunate misgivings of growing up with older and more famous brother Scott Hansen. As you know, the Hansons are from the Midwest and are always depressed during the football season. And I think you can guess why. Because we are fans of the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. So, are you a Chicago Bears fan? Are your Sundays always full of disappointment and regret? Well, then you need the new NFL Red Zone Simulator. It literally plays all the touchdowns of the day, but as if they were your favorite Chicago Bears players. I call it the Bear Zone. All Bears, all the time. You'll never be upset ever again, because the Bears never lose when they score 75 touchdowns. This product can be yours for the mere price of $420.69 per month, plus shipping and handling. But wait, there's more! If you order now and use promo code WITCHINGHOUR, you'll get a second magic bullet free! That's right, free.
The Red Zone Simulator is not actually affiliated with the NFL, Chicago Bears, or Hammer Hansen. All purchases will immediately be given to Hammer Hansen and the Hammer Hansen LLC. Taxes may vary. The NFL is not liable if you bootleg league games and we'll sue the fuck out of you over us.
And we're back.
We're back. And we're back just in time to head back into the decision bot, $420,000 to build a super flex lineup that's going to cash.
And Tony, I am so upset because once again, we did not cash. We are on a horrible streak, which means
we're due.
We're going to cash like $40 this week.
We're due, baby. This is it. All right. So leave with me. Let's go to the decision bot.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 beep.
Thank you. kill you, but there's no fucking way he's ever killing me. Fucking asshole. He said that?
All right, Ryan, we're back from the decision bot. 420,000 million. Can you tell us what our Superflex lineup for the week is? The good one.
Once again, we think it's like super spicy, and this is probably one of the best lineups we've put together. I don't know how we were able to get the receivers we did, but yeah. Listen to this. Listen to this. So we got Jared Goff. We paired him with St. Brown in the flex. We're doing Teddy Bridgewater, and we're pairing him with Tyreek Hill. We got Tyler Algier. We got Travis Etienne. We got Jelani Woods. And we also have Mr. Justin Jefferson. So we have Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and St. Brown. Sell me on some Bridgewater, Tony. You had some interesting knowledge. Spit it.
Well, so Teddy is Teddy, right? He's my hope is that Teddy puts up, you know, 250 and two touchdowns. Right, that's not the ceiling play, but pairing him with Tyreek is great because in the games that they've played together this year, Tyreek has 36 total targets. He has a 35% target share right now. He averaged over those two games per game, Tyreek Hill, 14 targets, 11 catches, 166 yards. So I'm paying up for Tyreek Hill everywhere I can, and we usually don't flex wide receivers. But this is just such a juicy wide receiver slate this week.
Yeah, it just put together so well.
And so I think we talked about it a little bit, Ryan, in the decision bot. So why don't you enlighten the crowd about
Ryan's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Okay, so this week's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week is a guy who's actually been doing decent out of a lot of the receiving that's going on in Indianapolis or lack thereof.
Right.
For some reason he's getting targets. I know Granson's out again this week, but Jelani Woods,
I love it.
Had 4 or 5 targets last week. He's in line for a touchdown this week, especially against the Giants. It might even be a tight end battle. Maybe it would be Woods versus Bellinger. Get like four touchdowns between them.
So when Ryan said that, my ears perked up because Kylan Granson is someone I want a lot of shares of this weekend. The Giants give up the 6th most FanDuel scoring points per game to tight ends. They average 11.3 half PPR points allowed.
Hell yeah.
In games without Granson, Jelani Woods has a 22% target share. He caught 8 passes for 98 yards the first time, and then last week he went 3 for 43. I love this play. I think Jelani Woods is such a spicy play this week. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too. And as usual, some honorable mentions. Bellinger, McBride. Come on. They're still up there. Both of those guys, as I have been talking about in the last few weeks, are slowly getting more and more targets each week. Bellinger only had 2 of those catches last week. It's kind of disappointing. McBride had a decent amount of catches, surprisingly, with whatever backup he's playing with. Is it still McSorley, or is he out now?
No, it's... oh, God. Who's playing quarterback for the Cardinals this week? I don't... That doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He had 4 targets last week. Bellinger had 5. But beware. Beware of the disease. The Zylstra disease.
Oh, no.
Do not play Zylstra. All right. What do you have? 3 touchdowns last week? But the entire season before that, he only had 6 catches. So don't believe the hype.
That's a good one. That's a just stay away. That's a public service announcement.
Yeah. That's my version of it's a trap.
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So this week, that's Jelani Woods, mid-tier, kind of shitty tight end of the week. although improving, and I think Tony's got a Jamal Agnew guy this week.
I do. But before we go into it, I want to say your mid-tier tight end of the week plays are almost exclusively rookies. And so it makes me so excited at this time next year because, like, we're going to be talking about next year's rookies, you know, during the mid-tier report. And then you're going to be like, all right, man, I got an old school one for you. Teagan, Vitoriano.
Oh, yeah.
Soon, in like 5 years, we'll have scouted like 60% of the tight ends in football.
We'll have, you know, Calcaterra will be catching 12 touchdowns a year. You know.
All right. So Ryan, this week, let me just take a brief moment to soak up the love for being all over Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah, dude. What a shining light into that Giants suckhole of a receiver class.
And honestly, man, that's the dude. He was on the Bills practice squad. They signed him off the Bills practice squad.
That's crazy, man. He looked so good last week. That touchdown.
Yeah. Oh man. And so, like, that's the sort of freedom that I have when I'm not bound to like a low salary guy like I am with the Jamal Agnew line. So in the offseason, maybe I'll like sit down and refine my parameters so I can hit with more reliability.
Sure. Where and then the problem with, you know, you calling these players and us being right is he's probably what 56,000 somewhere. He's probably what was he last week? 40 something?
Oh, he was like 54, I want to say.
So he didn't move up that much.
But this week, I'm actually all about Richie James.
Ooh.
So, yeah, 12 targets last week. Anyways, so
Hodgins moved up to 6,200. Sorry.
Oh, damn. Okay. So anyways, Jamal Agnew, 5,000 FanDuel. So I'm going to do something new this week. And for the first time this season, we are going to welcome someone back into the Jamal Agnew line segment.
Back in?
For $4,800, I am calling another Jameson Williams touchdown this week.
Oh, shit. I love it.
All right. So
against the Bears? Oh, yeah. It's going to happen.
At home? So he has low participation. He's been playing like 20% of snaps. DJ Chark's been like the deep ball guy, but they're playing the Bears at home and they want to end the season good towards the future. So he caught a deep touchdown against the Vikings, which I called, which is, you know, we called that one here at TH Fantasy.
Yeah. Just, you know, for your information.
Do you remember the next week he beat the defense again and Jared Goff threw it just short and it got knocked away?
Oh yeah.
So Dan Campbell said that, like, you know, we're going to work more Jameson Williams in this week. It's going to happen, man. The Bears can't stop the run. When the run's working, it sets up the deep ball off play action.
Right.
Jameson Williams, like, touchdown.
Hell yeah.
All right. So that's the Jamal Agnew line.
Hell yeah.
So I have to ask myself before we go, and I think, you know, it's a conversation that responsible fantasy owners around the nation are having. Is it a Kadarius Toney week?
Dude, what happened last week? We totally got it wrong last week.
Yeah, so it's weird, okay, because like when Kadarius Toney is in, only Juju and Kittle run routes on 60% or more of pass dropbacks. Everyone else is only running like 50 to 40 to 30% of the routes, and Mecole Hardman is back this week.
Ooh.
So
really?
you've got Toney, Hardman, MVS, Sky Moore, and Schuster? Like, well, Schuster's and Juju up. and Kelsey. Like, it's a mess. So he might catch a random touchdown, but no, it's not a Kadarius Toney week.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yeah, we're good on it being not a Kadarius Toney week. All right, so That's it, Ryan. That's it for us. We got a stream tomorrow, probably, you know, today, if you're listening to this when it comes out. And I think that's it for 64. Are we feeling good?
Yeah, it was a good 64.
Yeah, and we'll come at you next week with 65. We have 2 weeks left of the regular season, and then guess what? It's rookie scouting time.
Well, we got some playoffs to talk about, but...
Of course, but we'll start expanding some stuff. We'll bring Shane on to talk about stuff. We'll start collecting tape and watching it, and sure. I think we'll start by looking at the quarterbacks.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll have some good discussions on here about prospects, and yeah, I look forward to it. So everyone that's still playing fantasy, if you're in your championships this week, congrats.
Yeah, and good luck with your championships. That's good right. Good luck.
If you listen to this, you're already a winner.
That's right.
Yeah, good luck to all your teams, and I hope all the games are, like, dank.
Yeah. And all right. Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. We did it. It's 2023. We'll talk to you next year.
All right.
All right. Later, guys. Peace. Your newfound Judaism.